It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland on the journey once again this week with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Good afternoon, Daniel.
Good afternoon, Mark.
Hey,
good.
Continuing, kind of dovetailing off of our show last time, I was dealing with anger. One of the symptoms of anger that you said last week was addiction. Mm-hmm. You want to focus in on a kind of a contemporary kind of addiction that seems to have really taken hold in our society, and that is sexual addiction.
Yeah, sexual addiction. Now, we've talked about pornography. It's going to come up a little bit here now, but it's possible that for people to be addicted to pornography. And you could say that is certainly a subset of sex addiction, but some sex addictions, it's about the act of sex. And so it goes, it's kind of like, we talk about, Paul talks about the sins increasing into more ungodliness. Mm-hmm.
Also, Paul, it seems the areas of sexual immorality seem to have a particular, warning about them, about getting out of control. Paul says, all other sins a man commits are outside the body, but sexual sin, it's kind of like sinning against himself. Mm-hmm. And so there's an extra level of difficulty there.
You know, I've thought about that. I haven't really put my finger on that, but you're right. There's a potency in sexual immorality that really destroys the soul like nothing else. And another thing about it is that you're sinning against your own self, you know, not just your body, but your own self, your own soul. And then quite a lot of the time, you're sinning against somebody else's soul as well.
Sure.
And there's this idea of mutual consent. And I've seen this and heard this just recently in a discussion, somebody brought up sexual act, is this immoral and that. And a lot of people were saying, as long as it's mutual consent. But we know that that's not true because, you know, sadomasochism is mutual consent, and there's nothing healthy about that. It's dehumanizing. It's abusive. So just because you know, a person can be raised in an abusive environment and be predisposed to always choose abusive environments, that might call mutually accepting of that, but it isn't healthy. It doesn't mean it's healthy just because two people agree to do it.
Well, let's back to, you say all addictive behaviors are anger behaviors, including sexual addiction. Mm-hmm. So what kind of anger would be going on with a sexual addiction?
Well, again, as we talked in the previous show, and by the way, if you didn't hear that previous show, it's at the podcast at BibleBasedCounselor.com. So that would be last week's. Addictions are a reach for value, control, and power, and they are fear and shame based. And so they're fear and shame based, their reaches for value, control, and power, that makes them an anger behavior. And so sex addiction, a drinking addiction, an eating addiction, a TV addiction, exercise, you know, now I've got a note down here, not all exercise, because, you know, if you have a rigid discipline, that's not the same thing as an addiction. But there are people who, if they don't get to the gym or they don't get this exercise done, it generates anger.
Mm-hmm.
And what that tells me is that the exercise itself is an anger behavior. In what way is it an anger behavior? It's a pursuit of value, control, and power. It's fear and shame-based. What do you mean fear and shame-based? I'm exercising, I'm getting buff because I don't like my body the way it is. And if I don't get to that gym and take care of it, I have a message, internalized message of lack of worth, which is shame. And I have a sense of not being valued, not having control, not having power. Those are real natural responses to our human reality, our mortality. Mm-hmm. But they're not godly responses. And so we talked last week about how the only alternative of responding to the things we're stuck with, which is our mortality, the way to respond to our the weaknesses and mortalities, rather than grab for value, control, and power, and be afraid and be ashamed, is surrender.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's Christ that gives us that assigns our value, and we put our control in His hands. Now, that's not where we live; it's what we aspire to. But we should always remember that that's the direction. Mm-hmm.
Ask you the physical component. Now, I think of sexual addiction certainly as a physical component. exercise too. Mm-hmm. How much of that, this whole thing of the physical, when you, the dopamine going up by engaging in certain behaviors, sexuality mm-hmm. certainly of one, also exercise mm-hmm. that raises, mm-hmm. how much of is a purely a physical kind of addiction that goes on? How much do you think that's part of it?
Well, they're paired. As we've talked before of addictions, you have the neurological event or the neurological balance that the brain seeks. And quite a lot of times, and this is where the idea of addiction comes in, that neurological balance is what the brain prefers over the anxiety and depression. So it's yeah. wanting this other neurological balance. Mm-hmm. There are lots of ways to get that. Exercise actually can be a healthy way, creating endorphins, and sure. can be a healthy way of overcoming depression. Physical work was the medicine of choice sure. before the pharmaceutics became popular because sure. It does a lot of things. It builds the endorphins. And the other thing is accomplishing something gives you a sense of value, control, and power.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll yeah. probably expand on this in your toolbox section in the second mm-hmm. half of the show today. I wanted you to tell us about this one story, this person that you're currently working with yeah. who has a real interesting predicament.
Well, yeah, we were talking about how that addictions a lot of times are paired because not that they necessarily belong together, but because an addictive personality, and let me just say parenthetically there that an addictive personality is just a person who hasn't found a healthy way to respond to the need of value, control, and power.
Mm-hmm.
And so the need for value, control, and power is generating anxiety and depression. And so now they have behaviors to dumb that down.
Right.
An addictive personality then is going to make an addiction out of everything or mm-hmm. anything. Mm-hmm. But a person... typically, if they have an addiction, they probably don't have one. They probably have a number of more or less addictive behaviors. So I recently met a man who had a bisexual sex addiction, very, I'd say pronounced, let's say. He would go on week binges of no eating, no sleeping, because he said those interfere with sexual performance. And so it would be straight sex for a week. Now you say, how could anybody do that? Well, it was paired with an addiction to crystal meth.
Mm. Which is a major stimulant.
And so what happens is each is driving the other. So so he forms an association. Some more common associations might be one that my wife and I had for a while, TV and popcorn. If we see popcorn, we ask what's on TV. Right. If we turn on the TV, we say, is there any popcorn? So you can have
associations.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you can have associations, and they sort of travel together. So part of getting out of the addiction then, of course, would be to recognize those associations. I had a little quick list of them here, but I'm not seeing it right now. What we will probably have to do with that person is...
Yeah, how are you going to walk him out of this? What kinds of things are you going to do?
Well, he's going to have to...
Not a Christian either.
Here's the analogy we used. That's right, he's not a believer. I hope he will be, because that would solve his problem. Mm-hmm. The analogy would be, for him would be... and by the way it goes is that he has to get off the meth because it's killing him. But if he gets off the meth, he will have zero interest in sex because he's elevated it to such a superhuman level that he cannot possibly match that.
Hmm.
It would be like having an addiction for anything, alcohol or drugs or anything like that, and then deciding, instead of that, I'm just going to drink tea. There wouldn't be any way that you could reach that neurological high.
But that would be a good thing. So you're trying to get him off the meth, and that'll.
Well, it would be a good thing if he could pull it off. So, but first of all, people have to kind of realize there has to be a narrative to their healing process. So for this person, it's analogous to a person getting in a car accident or something and losing both legs, because it's a life changer. Well, it will never be the same.
He obviously wants some kind of help because he came to you,
right?
He knows mm-hmm. this is killing him.
Mm-hmm.
But you said he, at least initially, he's trying to kind of control and enjoy it.
He's wanting to have that enjoyment without the meth, but you can't. He cannot have it because he's The addictions, and with any addiction, what satisfies you today won't satisfy you next month. And it's the same with sexual addiction. And a lot of times sexual addictions get embedded in marriage relationships and people don't recognize them at the beginning. But they digress and they increase to more ungodliness.
Is the sexual addiction the same as a porn addiction? It seems like...
Well, porn is usually a step
that.
Yeah. Okay. As I said earlier, porn obviously has a sexual content, and so it's a subset of that. Kids growing up can get exposed to pornography.
Well, pornography is more pervasive than ever in our society, and it's just like, I can't imagine, if pornography like that had been around when you and I were young. Mm-hmm. It's like, so I would think that you're seeing a lot of young men, or has it just become so part of just the male psyche it's like people don't even see it as a problem.
There's a lot of it out there, and I see a lot, a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that people want to make allowances for some of these things in their life because they just don't see a way out of it. But there is a way out of it. As we're talking here, maybe people are getting the picture that whenever we're talking about these addictions, you can't include other people. And so, yeah, we say addictions are anger behaviors. And another thing that we always should remember about addictions are the opposite of relationship. Mm-hmm. So a sexual addiction is not about relationship. It's the opposite of relationship.
Even though a sexual addiction might involve people,
absolutely,
might involve partners. And
it's not about relationship. Mm-hmm. It's about me. It's not about what we are. It's about me, my gratification. And it's actually if it's an anger behavior, then what's really happening? We're not really making love. We're making anger. It doesn't look like anger. We talked about that last week. It doesn't look like anger, but it is. In what regard is it? Because it's fear and shame based, and it's a grab for value, control, and power.
Mm. Well, this is a big subject. It has lots of tentacles, pornography, sexual addiction with other people, prostitutes, different levels that this can get to. If this is something that you are struggling with in your life, or maybe you have a husband who's struggling, or a wife, it seems like women are getting more involved in this problem as well. Daniel, you deal with this a lot. You have a great approach to this. If people need help, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can call me. The number is 425-778-6169. And people also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Offices in Kirkland and Edmonds.
Okay, and more details at kcisradio.com. We'll return with more of this Sound Mind broadcast on KCIS here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Where marriage is concerned, an ounce of prevention is worth a lot more than a pound of cure. Too many couples start off with misconceptions and then wait until the damage is done to seek counsel. As a marriage counselor, I help couples understand both the purpose and process of marriage, and I teach essential tools of communion. If you're married or thinking about marriage and want to get started right, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland this week, Daniel, getting into the subject of sexual addiction, pornography addiction, kind of all the different ways that this manifests in our society. But again, you're bringing us back to this interesting observation that you've made about sexual addiction. Like any addiction, it's an anger behavior.
It's an anger behavior. Mm-hmm. And it's I wanted to take a look really quickly at the marriage. And maybe these are people who are planning to get married and they've already become sexual and they're, which is never a good idea. Just to kind of lay out how one way in which you can recognize the anger, as we said last week, before it looks like anger, and associate this sex with anger. You don't want to mix sex and anger. That's very dangerous because people get hurt when sex is inappropriate. Everybody gets hurt. And it doesn't just damage one generation. We pass on the values we have, not the values we wish we had. So we talked about this man who had the sex addiction and the meth addiction. He also has a daughter. and whether or not he realizes that he's passing on the value that he has, and that's gonna have a bad payoff at some point in her life.
Is this guy married also?
He's divorced.
He's divorced. Okay.
So some of the things that I find and that you that might be kind of red flags, something I call grooming, and here's in marriage relationships, here is one way that the marriage relationship is groomed. You might say the husband grooms the wife. That's typically the way it is. Although sometimes the wife it colludes in this without realizing it, and this may be a gal that's grown up in an abusive home environment or a sexually abusive environment, so she's kind of got a tough skin on her, and she she is a little bit on the wild side. So she goes along with it. But the grooming would be things like disrespect, condescension, harsh communication, constant arguing, despising. Another word, despising, is interesting. The dictionary definition means to think over or think around. So I picture somebody talking to me and I'm despising them. I'm saying, yes, yes, I hear you, but I'm not even looking, making eye contact. I'm looking over here and looking over there and thinking over and thinking around. So we see these red flags in marriage relationships, and people might say, well, yeah, that's going on, but we have great sex. Well, that doesn't surprise me, because the sex is an anger behavior, and here's the rest of it. So it all fits together very nicely. We wanted to go last week. We talked a little bit about building life management toolbox, and I want to do that again this week, because these anger and addictions always, use the same tools, which is...
But you have a little bit of an expanded toolbox for this particular...
Yeah, I wanted to talk about tool concepts, which I teach. I'm not going to be... I'm not going to exhaust, can't obviously exhaust what I do here, but I also want to talk about the concept of handles. And again, this is just to explain to people what I do. Some of this can be helpful right now, but some of it, you know, we'd have to actually get some, get more in depth. But there's a life management toolbox. So last week we talked about managing anger. Well, addictions are anger behavior, so we're talking about a lot of the same things. When people come to me with an addiction, we are dealing with an anger behavior. When they come with an anger behavior, I know that they probably have some addictive behaviors too, greater or lesser. So we build the toolbox, and the idea of the toolbox is we develop numerous gateways or viewpoints through which a person can see their addiction and their behavior. And in doing that, it sort of looked like looking holographically at something. Different viewpoints can be meaningful in different ways. For example, for a while when I was working with children and families years ago, I liked to work with kids who were flunking out in school, because I saw my goal is to give them some passing grades, and spelling was an easy one to start off with. So I said, you know, bring your spelling list in. And so the first thing we would do is we would arrange the words in a pattern. An obvious pattern. And then the next thing, I'd have them write out the words five times. And then I'd take a clean piece of paper and see how many of them you can write without. Now, the ones that you missed, we're going to write those out a few more times, and then we're going to try it again. And then there might be some difficult ones. And here's what we do. I'm going to have you break that word down and write it out in different colors. And some of these words, maybe a doodle will help or something. Now, what we're doing is we're flagging these words in different ways. So when you take the test, you might not remember the word, but you'll remember that there were three colors, and you'll be able to see what was in those colors. So the toolbox is something like that. We want different ways to pull this information.
Different associations. You're
right.
Trying to change associations. Because you're saying a powerful part of addiction is associations.
Mm-hmm.
Certain things and associate.
And we want to associate. We want lots of associations. That's a good way of putting it, with the tools that we're going to – so we call the – so here's some of the concepts I teach people. Addictions are in the past, and so we want to move into the future. Now, moving into the future means we're moving toward people. Addictions are the opposite of relationships, so we're moving toward people. We're moving toward challenges. This comes from the life perspectives model that I teach them. So we talk a little bit about the past. That's your addiction, which means that's your anger, which means that's your anxiety and depression and your shame and your fear. So we want to move away from that toward confidence, toward hope, toward direction, those kinds of things. So people say, get a sense of if they're in the midst of, they're beginning to go down this road toward a sexual act, and so something will come to mind, and they might say to themselves, this would be the handle. I'm living in the past. That would be the handle, one of the handles. Mm. Another handle that I teach in the life perspectives is your world is either getting larger or smaller. If I'm going back toward addiction, I'm going back toward anger, I'm going back toward shame and fear, my world is getting smaller. So all through the day, I can, let's say a person has a sex addiction and they also have an anger problem. So they're driving in the car, they always get angry in the car. What most people don't realize is that I can actually work on my sex addiction by controlling my anger in the car because the two are associated. The anger is part of the sex addiction. Mm. So I can say things to myself like, my world's getting smaller. And in that context, it means I'm treating people as though they're not human. I'm getting angry with them. So my world is getting smaller. I'm beginning to isolate, pull away from relationships. And that means I'm going right back to my addiction. Mm. So there's lots. We do a genogram, and people can, in the midst of a behavior, when they're headed toward behavior, a vision might come to them about their family of origin and how, now I remember that's those things. Another one is that we have talked about from time to time is the idea of behavior, emotion, belief. So we talk about that concept. Handles might be things like this, mottos or phrases. I'm having troubles, struggling with this temptation, and I say to myself, what are you afraid of? What are you ashamed of? Because the anger, the fear and shame is what's driving the addiction. Now, if I'm on this in this behavior, emotions or beliefs, emotion, behavior, and I'm headed toward this addictive behavior, I am operating from my amygdala, which we've talked about before, the lower brain, the fight or flight. Now, all I have to do is get myself thinking cognitively, and it gives me more choices. So I'll say things like, "What are you afraid of? What are you ashamed of?" And that makes me an analyst instead of a passenger on this train that's going off the cliff.
Right.
Okay. Or I can say things like, your world is getting too small, or you're living in the past. These are things I'd say to myself. Other tools could be biblical. I can remind myself, lay aside that sin that so easily besets you. Mm. And yeah, by golly, that's the one that easily besets
me. How about
me.
Praying for the person? That's the quickest way out of anger for me. A lot of, I'm really angry. Somebody is really making me angry. Pray for them. That somehow that really dissipates anger too.
Because when you start to pray for the person, you actually think about the situation, and that takes you from the amygdala up to your frontal your frontal cortex is also what it does. Turns it all around. We were talking last week about how perfect love casts out fear. Well, if I'm angry at a person, that's fear. That's a response to fear. What's perfect love? Perfect love is to serve. So if I turn it around and I serve the person, that takes care of the fear, and the fear is the root of the anger. So those are handles. Another one was the buddy system.
Yeah, I was going to say this seems to me, this is the more kind of traditional idea of people struggling with addiction is being in some kind of support group.
Yeah.
Would that be part of?
A support group is good, and also I want to talk about accountability because if we see addictions as the opposite of relationship, then as ironic as that seems, sex addiction is the opposite of relationship. Just because two people are in bed together doesn't mean they have a relationship. They do this in Hollywood all the time. So sex addiction is the opposite of relationship. Relationships are part of the healing, part of the sound mind. Now, accountability is kind of a relationship, but I would warn people, when you pick someone to be accountable to, don't pick a chum that that you don't mind confessing to, because promise keepers will become secret keepers, and the first thing you know, the ship goes down with all hands on deck. you need to be accountable to someone who you don't want to sin in front of. You know, isn't it interesting that we wouldn't dare sin in front of Jesus, but we do it all the time because we can't see him.
Yeah.
So we need some representative here that's as close as we can get, you know, someone that we really look up to and that we'll change for, somebody that we will change for.
Seek out that person as an accountability person. Okay, well, these are some great ideas for the toolbox, building the life management toolbox when it comes to sexual addiction. People have heard some things today. They know they need some help. They know maybe somebody who needs help. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yes, call me, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com. We mentioned the podcasts are there.
Podcasts are there, and you have offices?
In Kirkland and Edmonds.
Great. More details as well at KCISradio.com. Another great Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.